RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, moving on now to talk about the RMA Amendment Bill and the government intervention in Otago Regional Council's adoption of an out-of-date freshwater policy. Coming back to RCR is the Minister for the Environment, Penny Simmons. Penny, good morning. Thanks for coming back on.
Good morning, Paul.
All right, so where are we up to with the changes to the RMA? Can you just update us on that first?
Yes, well, this is part of our second phase where we've got a couple of amendments. This is the first amendment bill to go through and become an act. And we have another one that was introduced into the House, I think, in May, and it'll be due before the end of the year. So three phases. First phase before Christmas last year was stopping the previous government's new legislation. Second phase is getting fast track, getting this first amendment, getting a second amendment in. Third phase is next year, getting the new policy statements and the new replacement RMA. So people might wonder why we're bothering to do these amendments this year when we're doing the whole thing next year, but it's really because there are so many things that are so flawed, we had to make changes early. And in this particular one that we've just completed, it was really a lot of it was about the primary sector, around stock exclusion changes, around removal of the hierarchy of obligations with Te Mata Arawai, the mining, SNAs, wastewater discharge, farm plans, all those things that were quite urgent and couldn't wait until next year.
I want to get on to the Otago Regional Council in just a moment, but let's say all that as planned went through and, you know, the previous government's idea of how this should all be done went through. What would it have left us with, Penny?
Well, it would have left with huge cost on a lot of the primary sector, and it would have made continuation of primary production in many areas quite difficult. The wastewater discharge one would have probably meant a number of consents that have been given for years around use of irrigation water wouldn't have been able to be consented by councils. The mining one meant that coal mining was treated differently to any other sort of mining, making it much more difficult to do. The stock exclusion would have meant that high country, very low intensity farming would have had an incredible burden of cost of fencing in areas where really it wasn't going to make much difference.
Right, gotcha. Okay, so quite a few bullets have been dodged by many people. Let's sum it up by saying it that way. Okay, last time we talked, I asked you about the Otago Regional Council, who are still bowling ahead with the adoption of a freshwater policy, even though that they knew it was all going to change and it could all be a waste of time. Since then, there's been government intervention, apparently. What's happened, Penny? What intervention are we talking about?
Well, in this bill that we've just passed into an act, we put an amendment in which prevented any council from being able to notify their freshwater plan prior to us putting a new national policy statement on freshwater out, or the end of next year, whichever is the sooner. So it was a pause to say, look, it doesn't make sense for any council to get their plan notified prior to knowing what the new national policy statement on freshwater was going to be. It was going to be a duplication of costs for ratepayers, and we wanted to remove that uncertainty and say no councils can notify until we get this up and people can see what they are dealing with.
Okay, and there are some groups that have concerns about water quality. I see Greenpeace is reporting that there's a growing body of science showing that long-term exposure to nitrate in drinking water at levels as low as 1 milligram per litre can increase the risk of developing bowel cancer. And the College of Midwives are advising that pregnant people. What do you think about that term, pregnant people, Penny? Pregnant women, right?
Well, it's their term. And look, we're all worried about fresh water. Of course, we want to improve our waterways, and they are improving in many instances. But we've got to remember that we got to this state over a number of decades, and we can't turn it around overnight. So we have to do sensible things that improve the waterways over time, but don't wreck our economy immediately either.
Where do you stand, Penny, on fluoride?
Oh, look, I think the science is there, but this isn't...
Sorry, the science is there on what side? Because the latest science tells us that it's actually a neurotoxin. So what science are you talking about?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not an expert in that, and fresh water...
But if it was toxic, you wouldn't want it in there, right?
Well, look, I'm going to take the lead from the science that I am informed
of. I can send you the latest science, Penny. It's compelling, yeah. And it's the facts, okay? And it says it's a neurotoxin, but yet we're still putting it in there. So if it's good to clean up the water in general, that has to be included, right? I mean, it has to be.
Well, you say? No, it's not part of this act anyway.
No, I know, but in terms of a principle, right?
Yeah, look, it's not my area of expertise. That's certainly health that deals with that.
Yeah, but it is an environmental thing. When you're putting it in the water supply, I don't want to get fixated on this, but I mean, I think it all runs together. If you're going to mass medicate people through the water, that is the environment, isn't it?
It's a health factor. It's not an environmental, yeah.
All right. What sort of feedback from the stakeholders, I guess you call them, like farmers, everyone involved in water affected by what would have been the previous administration's changes. What have they been saying along the way here? What's the feedback you've had?
Look, people are really pleased that it's being paused. It's a big expense. What people don't realise is how much money gets spent on these council plans. $18 million was spent developing it, which is in itself atrocious. Nothing should be so complicated for a freshwater plan that it takes $18 million for them to develop it. So what we didn't want was going out and spending more money with the notification of it and then having to change it and waste ratepayers' money. So it's about saying, giving certainty to the councils that you cannot notify until you know what the new national policy statement on freshwater is going to be. And at that stage, then you have to ensure that your plan complies with it.
Oh, one other thing too, because we heard recently that the entire area of Gore had been identified as an area of interest to Māori. What do you make of such, I mean, it's a whole town, you know, what do you make of these sort of arbitrary decisions? And it is environmental because it's the environment and people who live in.
Yeah. It's under the RMA. And again, it hasn't been impacted by this act that we've just put in, but it's one that we're looking at because I don't think there was ever any intention that whole council areas would be designated as such, and I'm just not sure where Gore got to with their consultation that got them to a place where their whole region could be designated. The intention was that where there are specific sites of historic value or historic relevance to Māori, that they be designated so that there was checks and balances on any development in those areas.
Penny Simmons, Minister for the Environment. Thanks for coming back on RCR again, Penny. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Nice to talk. Bye.
Thank you. Have a great day.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.